Did you know that the Pop Culture Preservation Society depends on support from listeners like you to keep our podcast up and running? We are an independent operation, creating, producing, distributing, and promoting the podcast by ourselves and paying for it out of our own pockets because we love it and we think it's worth it to preserve the well-loved cultural nuggets from our Gen X youth. If you'd like to become a supporter of the PCPS, go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and search for Pop Culture Preservation Society. Our Patreon supporters are like our pit crew, giving us the fuel we need to keep on trucking. And as a Patreon supporter, you'll also get special thank you gifts, like video recordings of our episodes, after-the-episode discussions, invitations to live events over Zoom, and the occasional blooper delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of our society.
I do remember that it's almost like, it sounds weird to say the birth canal, but it, you like the hallway is all lit up and bright, and there's this threshold that you have to cross over where you go into the dark womb of the dance, and it's like instantaneous. And I remember sort of clinging to my people. Like, you have to go in as a group.
Hello world, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who could tell what kind of mood they were in by looking at their ring.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving that ultimate preteen rite of passage, the middle school dance. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
And we'll set tomorrow together.
At no time were our full range of adolescent emotions more keenly felt than the night of the middle school dance. That emotional roller coaster we boarded on those evenings gave us all the feels, from the giddy anticipation of getting ready to the nervous energy of walking into the dance to elation and heartbreak and everything in between. The middle school dance contained all the ingredients for the perfect tween emotional cocktail.
I love that, the tween emotional cocktail. That is so true.
Yes, right? I mean, just think of all the emotions. Mm-hmm.
No, I was there for all of it, though. Like, that was my jam. Like, a lot of people are like, yikes, the middle school dance. And in my memory, I loved going to the dances. I mean, the pageantry of it, right? Like, the getting ready, the friends, the music, the – it might have changed once I walked through those gym doors, but –
Well, that's why it was all the things. You were going to feel
loved
it all.
Right, yeah.
You were, and don't forget the people who didn't go because
right,
of
and we'll talk
terror,
about
–
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And – I think that I only went to one because I think I was too scared to go to the rest for a variety of reasons. And also, we've talked about this before, too, where some of us went to middle school and some of us went to junior high.
Right.
And there, it doesn't seem like there's a big difference, but when you're in junior high, you also have ninth grade. So you're actually a little bit older. And I don't think it's a coincidence that I didn't go to a junior high dance until I was in ninth grade.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. So was it 7, 8, and 9 for you?
Or 7, 8, and 9.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. There's a big difference between 7th graders and 9th graders.
I mean, oh my God.
Huge.
Yes. For sure.
It's basically elementary school kids versus high school kids.
Yeah,
and also, let's not forget, there's a lot of other factors that are involved here. I mean, I had just 7th and 8th grade. I just had middle school. Mm-hmm. But it was very small. Like, very small. Like, there was not even going to be 100 people at my 7th grade dance. And I think we had a 7th grade dance and an 8th grade dance. In my memory, they separated them. So, because I know...
That makes a difference.
I have no idea. This is just in my memory. It was the 7th grade dance. It probably was 8th grade, too. But so, let's say at maximum, there was 100 and... Well, because a lot of people don't go. So, say there was 150 people there, max. So, if you went to a really big junior high or middle school, or if you're incorporating 4 grades, that's way more intimidating.
Oh, it's so interesting. I didn't think about that at all, but you're right. I went to a ginormous junior high. It was bigger than most people's high schools. It was, I think, 1,500 to 2,000 kids or something
like that.
Yeah. And so as a seventh grader walking into a dance where there would be, to your point, people with body hair.
Yeah.
And like mustaches.
Boobs.
And there would people be, boobs and like people making out in earnest.
No,
I would have been terrified. And also, do I even have anyone to go with? Because the having a gang was pivotal. To walk into that scenario alone, I'm not sure that's survivable. That might kill you.
It might,
I think that's a no-brainer. You just walk in, you don't go. Yes, right. Well, we were inspired to do this episode after reading an NPR article by pop culture happy hour host Linda Holmes. And the article was titled, 1980s Middle School Slow Dance Songs Was the Playlist I Didn't Know I Needed. And she went on to describe how she had come across on her satellite radio an 80s station called Chill Pill. And after listening to some of those songs, she was kind of immediately transported back to her middle school dance days. And immediately after reading the piece, I was like texting Kristen and Michelle. And then one of you guys said, we need to do an episode on middle school dances. And so here we are kind of honoring this universal experience. And to your points about, you know, the sizes of the schools and kind of how we how it was junior high or middle school or whatever, I do think that there are some universal emotions, no matter, you know,
if you went, if you didn't, who you went with, whatever,
that we all experienced during this evening of, you know, getting ready for this middle school dance. I'd like to tell you guys that the middle school dance is the setting for one of the top most memorable moments of maybe my entire life, but I'll go ahead and say my younger days. Okay.
Wow.
So picture this. I'm in eighth grade, and it's the Christmas dance. So we had one a month in middle school dances Friday night. Yeah.
That's too many.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, so you didn't obviously go to all of them. I was only at our middle school for 1 year. My sister was at the same one for 3 years. Shout out Mount Laurel Middle School in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. So I'm not sure how many I went to. Probably, let's say, six or seven in my eighth grade. And I think the student council put it on and they sold the concession. So it was kind of like a fundraiser, money maker kind of thing for them. So this particular middle school dance was the Christmas dance. So it's our December dance. It's nearing the end of the evening and, you know, not much longer before the lights are going to be turned on. And somehow my friends convinced my crush, oh my gosh, to ask me to dance.
Oh, no.
And so he comes over to ask me, and it's Christmas dance, and my friends hold mistletoe over our heads.
Oh, my God.
That's cruel.
Oh, my God.
Maybe, but not for me.
Oh.
Because he leans in and gives me probably the second best kiss of my life. Of course, I would say the best ones come from Andy, but until I met Andy, it was the single best kiss I had ever experienced.
Aww.
We are talking Bobby Brady, Millicent kiss, complete with the fireworks, weak knees.
I can't believe it.
This moment would be the standard bearer for every kiss to come after the rest of my life until I met Andy. And after we kissed, then we began slow dancing because Donna Summer's Last Dance song had come on. It was going to be the end of the evening coming soon. And we know that that starts out slowly and then it kind of jazzes up. And that's kind of when the lights would flick on. And then it was over. But you guys.
Well, so, but wait. Was it just the kiss and then? But
and
then
we danced.
Date?
No, it was just.
That was it.
It was just the kiss.
That's the middle school experience in a nutshell. Right there. It's over.
Yes. And it was, you know, those lights go on.
Oh,
you
my
just
God.
Knew.
Didn't you think after though, like, I bet we're dating now. I would have been like, I'm pregnant. We're getting married.
Of course, I think like, what's going to happen next? I don't remember all of that. I do remember, though, that there were moments come that spring. Oh, man, one. You guys, this might be the most heartbreaking moment. We were in line to go see something in the cafeteria or the auditorium or something from our English class. He was in my English class. And he came up, like, basically to stand next to me in the line where I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to sit next to each other. And he purposely came up here. I'm so excited. We go in. I'm the last one of the one row, and he's the first person to go down the next row. I know it. I just, my heart. Anyway, another moment I will never forget from my middle school days. I think the relationship, it didn't exist because of that row separation.
Oh, my God.
I know. So anyway, those are my two Ed moments.
I think that what you just described is the essence of the middle school dance is elusiveness. Elusive. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so elusive, and you might get a little taste, and then it's gone.
Yes, exactly.
And
like
you're a different person.
Yes.
And you see that theme over, we're going to talk about it more later too. You'll see it over and over and over again, it's, nothing permanent comes from the school dance.
It's like we don't talk about the things that happen when the lights are off. When the lights come on,
it's over.
Back to reality.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, again, we talked about this being a universal experience, so much so that it has woven itself into our pop culture. I mean, it's been, yes, you know, played out in movies and books.
It's very interesting. I think the middle school dance or the first dance is recognized by the entertainment industry as being an important moment in a person's life, a moment that could be either a dream come true or fraught with insecurity. Both of those things are true. And it actually even is true if you didn't go, because even if you didn't go, it was still a big event.
Right.
I'm not going. Should I go? My mom wants me to go. I don't want to go. I'm scared to go. Should I go? All of that.
If you choose not to, or for whatever reason you don't go, that sticks with you. It's part
of that experience. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. And there are two places in pop culture that portrayed it so lovingly and yet so accurately that it's both heartwarming and painful to watch. But you smile because you recognize it. The first is in the pilot episode of the short-lived but iconic Gen X era series Freaks and Geeks, which follows a bunch of high schoolers around in 1980. Supposed to be the year 1980, and has an all-star cast of people before they were stars. Seth Rogen, Busy Phillips, James Franco, Linda Cardellini, Jason Segel. It's full, chock full of stars. And among the characters is a group of boys straight from junior high who have not yet hit their growth spurt. You know what I'm talking about, those tiny boys.
Everybody,
right? Yes, they just haven't, they're not there yet. They're just not there. I once taught one of those little kids how to kiss in the nave of my church after a choir practice. He was like a little buddy of mine. Anyway, I mean, he was a teenager. He was my age.
Okay, yeah. At first, when you were saying that, I thought.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that sounded like you were a teacher. And
No. Yeah. He was my age.
Okay.
But a tiny boy. Yes. And I taught him to kiss in the nave of our church.
Distinction.
Yes. So in this first episode of Freaks and Geeks is a scene that has gone down in history for one moment that takes place at a school dance. One of these little boys wants to ask a popular cheerleader to what would be his first dance. And his friends are like, are you crazy? She's a cheerleader and you've seen Star Wars 27 times. It's like the best line.
Yeah.
It just sums up exactly who we were in 1980.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cheerleader, also my husband sums
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me see you.
The cheerleader, she says no, of course. She doesn't say yes, but she does throw him a bone and she says, I'll save a dance for you, which is all that little kid needs to show up. He's going to put on his suit and he's going to show up to the dance. And when he walks into the gym, he sees her in her pretty dress talking with her friends. And the song Come Sail Away by Styx comes on. And he walks in slow motion over to the cheerleader, step by scary step, and she dramatically holds her hand out to him, and he takes her hand in his, and this tiny boy slowly walks her out onto the dance floor. You know that walk, right? And you can't believe it. You're holding that person's hand, and you're walking slowly to the slow song out to the dance floor, and you're like, is this my life? Is this happening to me? And just when they find their place, they turn to face each other. And because we all know this song, we know what happens in the middle of the song. The music changes.
I love this.
I feel it. I know. And the music speeds up. And you're like, no!
I know.
This little boy's dreams are dashed, and she starts like dancing, like woohoo! Here now it's a fast song. He did not intend for this to be a fast song, and it also brings up a very important part of the middle school dance. What do we do with our bodies?
He was
prepared to go out there and do the, you know, hands on the shoulders, hands on waist, rock back and forth. He was not prepared to wiggle.
No.
And you just feel for him in that moment, like, ah, it was like, it's one of the best scenes in film. Okay, there's one other place in popular culture that also punched me in the gut in this same exact way for the same exact reason. There's a great episode of The Goldbergs that has a very emotional first dance moment so it made me cry for a variety of reasons. It wasn't just one thing. And I think that's because I was crying for both of myself in that moment. I was crying for my seventh grade self And I was also crying for my mom's self in this scene. Plus, I have a very special connection to the episode, which I will tell you about later, which made me identify with the seventh grader really hard. It's season one, episode 14. It's Adam's first dance, and he's experiencing the elephant in the room. Again, what do I do with my body? Terror. How do I move it in a way that won't embarrass me and humiliate me? I don't know how to do this thing. And that is something that will keep people from going to the dance because I don't know what to do with my body, right? And in a rare moment of detente, Adam allows his mom, Bevy, to show him some moves. She even teaches him how to slow dance. But then tragedy strikes when Adam learns that his mom is going to chaperone the dance. And again, you're like, no! And this is where Adam and I are soldiers on the battlefield together, because this exact same thing happened to me. And I can't believe that I'm still alive today. It almost ruined our family. I lashed out at my parents in such a toddler fashion, and I had to strike a deal with my parents that when they saw me, they had to promise to cross the gym to the other side of the gym, wherever I was. I made them crisscross the gym all night long if they happened to see me, which also makes me identify even more with the scene, because this is what comes next. Because when Bevy gets to the dance and she sees Adam holding onto a girl's hand, and the song, The Search is Over by Survivor, comes on, Bevy knows what's coming. And he's walking his little girlfriend out to the middle of the dance floor. And Adam sees his mom run away and leave the dance floor. He sees her doing it and he's like, thanks, Mom, for not horning in on this experience.
That's so uncharacteristic of Bevy.
Right,
it's so uncharacteristic.
Right.
But then, so she leaves the gym. But then you see her face peering through the window, and suddenly it's me watching Liam at his first dance, and
heart
just breaks in two. Because let's all admit it, if you had the opportunity to witness that important first in your child's life, wouldn't you do anything to be a fly on the wall and see it? The search is over.
Now I look into your eyes. You were with me all the while.
All right, well, you guys, let us buckle up and hop into our DeLorean and travel back in time to revisit this iconic Gen X experience, the middle school dance.
Well, I'd argue that for many of us, guys and girls, the planning what you'll wear eclipsed the actual dance. This was the topic of very serious note passing and lunchtime huddles and emergency phone calls in the weeks leading up to the dance. Maybe you got to go to the mall and hit up the Fashion Bug or Chess King, Shane, or Limited Casual Corner. Or maybe, like me, you went with your mom to Hancock Fabrics and sat on a high wooden stool and flipped through the pattern books to pick out the perfect Butterick or McCall's or Simplicity dress pattern. And then it was the pressure of actually getting ready, the laborious curling of the hair, anxiousness of perfecting your feathers on the side yes. and your bangs, getting them just fluffed, you know, just right. And then the decisions, do you wear the gold stretchy belt and a small ribbon choker? Is that too much? I want to share with you my most memorable middle school dance, the seventh grade Valentine dance. And apologies to those of you who've heard the description of my ensemble before, but not really, because it is pure 1982 fabulousness. And I think this week in our weekly reader, we're all going to post a picture, if we have one and can find one, of each of us at a middle school dance. My mom made the dress. It's white, little tiny red dots. It's kind of like that, like, you know, they're kind of raised.
Yeah.
Square dotted neckline, Swiss. Dotted Swiss. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Puffy sleeves, but then a dropped waist, but three-tier ruffle that ends right at your knees. Again, 1982.
That was a thing. That was a thing. That dropped waist.
Yeah.
Drop waist, three-tier ruffle. And then it had like a little red ribbon at the seam of the dropped waist. But then I had a tiny red ribbon choker, and she made a little red ribbon rose for the choker. I wore these long, like, They almost look like icicles, like white long earrings, if you can imagine. And I didn't really wear makeup. You know, I was only in seventh grade, but I had big old mouthful of braces. And also, this was the time when I would curl my hair back, but in the middle of my bangs, that one would go under.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
You would curl that one under. Mm-hmm. And I think I wore white tights and just little flats with it. It was absolutely beautiful. Do you guys have memorable outfits that you wore to dances?
Well, I, again, because I didn't have them as these special event kind of dances like you had that were kind of themed, ours were always kind of getting ready over at a friend's house before, because one of the parents was going to drive that leg of the carpool. And so I remember getting ready at my friend Debbie's house. And this was so fun, because this is when you'd borrow clothes. I mean, remember when mm-hmm. you'd borrow things? That was so fun. And so I remember borrowing her carpenter's pants. That's what we call, or no, we call them painter's pants.
Painter's
a lot
pants.
Of people call them carpenter's pants.
Right. That's where your comb goes. Yeah.
Inside pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was borrowing that, maybe a shirt of hers, but I distinctly remember my kind of crocheted disco scarf thing that was
nice.
If you remember, with like the knotted balls on the end. So it wasn't meant to keep you warm or anything. It was this.
It didn't go around the front.
No,
it just hung
right
around your neck.
And sometimes it had a little metallic accessory. Thread in
yes,
it.
Yes, there was often that metallic thread interwoven through. I remember for this particular getting ready at her house, I was wearing that. And I guess maybe for disco moves, it was kind of a thing, because you could maybe grab it as the partner. I don't know why it was a disco thing and like use it as
swing
a
them around.
Part of the, the dance. And I also remember you just talked about makeup, Michelle, and it reminded me, my friend Debbie's dad sold chemical. He was like a chemical salesperson.
Where is this going?
Well, oh, no.
He sold, so CoverGirl was one of his clients. And so she would always get makeup from CoverGirl, like, kind of free. He'd bring
testers
it
and stuff.
Yeah. And
nice.
So there was like a whole line of kind of not over the top makeup kind of thing. Like we could put powder on or the lightest pink lipstick. So it was, it was makeup. We were still using it, but it was kind of, under the radar kind of makeup. And so I remember it was like this, I don't know, shopping spree of all of this CoverGirl makeup that we would get to pick and put on.
I can picture like the CoverGirl, the four color eyeshadow, and there was like a baby blue and a glittery. If I was wearing any makeup at my seventh grade dance, it would have been Wet n Wild. And I believe the shade of lipstick we all were obsessed with was like 568 or something like that. Ooh. But we could go and buy, because it was so cheap. Remember how cheap? Mm-hmm. They still sell it, I think, Wet n Wild.
It is still on the cheap side.
But yeah, and if I had anything on, it would have been like a little blush. I had so many freckles, you guys. I was like pale faced with just a ton of freckles, and then those braces. It's not an attractive look, but I love the pictures. And actually, I think the only picture I have of me in that dress was then I wore it for Easter, and I decided to pair it with a jaunty little white straw hat and white gloves. So I'm pretty sure the only picture
Easter
I
bunny.
Have of me in that dress is from Easter. So if I post it, I'll put a big
X. You did not wear the jaunty hat.
That's why the hat and the gloves.
Okay. No.
I think the fact that you had them so frequently, Carolyn, is that's a game changer, because what it means is that you had so many opportunities to practice and practice and practice and practice and it wasn't such a scary thing. We had just one a year that I can remember, which made it like the prom. Every single one was such a big deal, and you only had three tries to get it right. Mm-hmm. And so I finally got it right in ninth grade. For makeup, I really only wore makeup at the Stein girls' house, because they could do makeup. And so then they would do my makeup for me. And then when I did get to the point where I was going to do my own makeup, it seemed like everything was on the sly. So you'd get, even from the colors, like it's just barely pink.
Right.
It's really,
exactly.
It's not a color at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember I would take it out like quietly, and then I would quietly open, like, don't click it shut. I don't know if I thought I was going to get in trouble. Nobody told me I couldn't wear makeup, but I was like, I'm just going to open this quietly so nobody knows. And what I wore to this one dance is very memorable, because I think this also says a lot about fear. The last dance was a 50s dance. It was a theme dance.
Oh, that's fun.
Which meant that it kind of stripped away the drama about what I should be wearing, and the consternation and the fear about picking out my outfit or what I should be wearing, because we had to wear 50s stuff. And so I wore a pair of jeans. I rolled them up. I wore bobby socks and little white Keds and one of my dad's big oversized white shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I wore a high ponytail, which was not something you did in the 80s. High ponytail wasn't a thing.
No, side ponytail was a
side
thing.
Pony was a thing.
Yes,
right?
I loved the side pony.
And then my dream bangs were like the big curtain of bangs that was curled over a big barrel curling iron that would just end at like kind of like maybe it would be Phoebe Cates. Would she have those bangs that were like just a curtain, a heavy curtain and curled under? Oh, and I think I had. Did I have a bandana around my neck?
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, like a little scarf, like a scarf kind of thing that you would do to the side.
Yes. And so I think what that allowed me to do was hide behind a costume, and it removed one of the barriers to entry. Don't look at me. I'm a 50s girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny.
I was theme dance.
Yeah, I was thinking, speaking of theme dances, when I was doing some research for this, and I would put in like 80s middle school dance, often what would come up would be current middle school dances with the theme of 80s middle school dance.
Oh, God, that hurts. 80s
day.
That
was our 50s day.
Yeah,
my 50s day was their 80s day.
Yeah, exactly.
Or vice versa.
So that's a middle school dance theme these days. Gosh, can you believe it?
Well, we crowdsourced our social media followers to ask them, you know, to share their own memories, their stories of middle school dances, the songs they listened to, if they could remember what they wore. And, oh, man. You guys have a lot of feelings and to say about middle school. So since we're talking right now about what we wore and getting ready, I just want to share some of our listeners and our social media followers. Our friend Jen remembers wearing, I just love this, Jen, black and white polka dotted shortalls. They're shorts and overalls. They're shortalls.
You don't have to choose.
They're polka dotted.
Oh, gosh. Love it.
P is for paper. Says, my mom made me an adorable white frilly dress with dark pink ribbon trim. Aw, I feel you, P. Becca says she remembers at the dance, they would take off their Cherokee sandals and put on their pom-pom socks.
Oh,
I love the pom-pom
sock. The pom-pom. That, and think about it. We need that now because the pom-pom is what kept your sock from going into your shoe.
Yes.
I'm going to get some.
Yeah, the hashtag.
Seriously. The pom-pom sock.
I'm going to bring back the pom-pom sock. And when I'm out walking, I just dare anybody to chuckle at my pom-pom socks. Ginger mentions that her dance was held over Christmas break. So, of course, she had new lip gloss and new Sweet Honesty perfume.
Nice.
Kansas Virginia is bringing some young Gen X and 90s into our convo. She says all the girls wore short dresses from Deb. That mall story?
Yep.
Deb.
Oh, Deb.
That was a little bit later, Gail shared this memory. Tom McCann Woody platform shoes or Earth shoes, 1977, and sashaying to the bathroom with an oversized comb in our back pockets to refeather our hair and apply overzealous amounts of kissing sticks or Bonnie Bell lip smackers that hung from cords around our necks.
Oh, she just got all of it. She just ticked all the boxes.
All of it, right? Karen remembers wearing tan corduroy pants and a white button-up blouse. I love that she used the word blouse. With thin silver and lavender stripes and a ruffled collar.
Oh, I can picture
the details of this, Karen, of this memory are impressive. Mm-hmm. There, and she says, there might have been ribbon-covered barrettes, too. To which I say, oh, Karen, there's no might about that. There were definitely ribbon-covered barrettes.
I'm like, and they're dangling down in my long hair behind my curtain of bangs.
Yes. Okay. Just Momster bought her maroon corduroys and cardigan at Hurrah, an irregular clothing store. And she wonders if anyone remembers it.
I remember Hurrah. I did not know it was irregular. I had no idea.
Your mom was like, this is the hottest new store.
Yes, she probably did. I have not thought of Hurrah in 45 years.
Wow. I just had this vision where you said I didn't know it was an irregular store. And I thought, you know, there's Linda taking you. Like, we're going to go shopping at Hurrah.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, Buffy died. She got hit by a car.
She's like
all the way over.
Judy Garland died in a car accident.
All the things.
All the things on your way to that great hip Hurrah.
Oh, and liver is steak.
Oh, by the way, we're having
that's the worst
liver
offense,
yeah.
Linda. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, kidding, because she might have, like, really affected your take on steaks for the rest
of
your
life. Oh, like, I hate steak.
Yeah.
Right, and people are like, that was not
liver.
Steak.
We need to do a whole episode
loved
on
making liver.
Liver
and onions.
Thank so goodness, did my
she
parents.
She didn't expect us to eat it, but the smell.
Mine did.
I think it's still in my hair. okay, and we're going to end this section with this mic drop memory from Keepsake Lake. It was seventh grade, and the mood-setting black light in the gym made my white training bra glow purple through my shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd have to go home. I just go, I'm calling it.
You're running to the bathroom with
abort,
your friends.
Abort. Oh my gosh.
And she lived to tell the tale.
She did live to tell the tale. Mm-hmm. Oh, she probably tale just tell. Came out of her house last year.
Yeah, right. I've been doing some work with my therapist and I can do it.
I've let it go. Oh gosh. Okay. So now that we've put on those painter's pants, hung that crocheted disco scarf around our necks, squirted our sweet honesty, put on our Tom McCann wooden shoes, we're ready to hop into the car of whoever's parent is driving this leg of the carpool, and we're heading to school. So my sister and I were actually reminiscing a bit about the whole middle school dance thing. And she, one of her memories is even before the dance happens that she has so specifically in her mind. She says her stomach, she can still recreate that feeling, like the butterflies.
Yeah.
She remembers how kind my mom was because she didn't want to eat dinner. Like my mom would try to prep a early dinner for her. And she would always say, "Mom, I'm not hungry." And my mom didn't make her eat it. She was like super empathetic and was like, "Oh, I get it." And that's a distinct memory for Ronnie. And so she remembers that excitement, but also this real, truly the butterfly feeling. And yeah, I'm sure we all can relate to that kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was terror. It was, and yet you wanted it badly.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listeners, it's time for a quick pause for this important message from Hormone Harmony. And it's thanks to Hormone Harmony that I can remember important things now. Also improved, many other menopause-related symptoms so many of us are experiencing, like hot flashes and night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired and sluggish, occasional bloating, and yes, even that desire to be with the person you sleep next to, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and supporting their general well-being. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. Honestly, Hormone Harmony has become quite a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. And get this, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. The biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
Hello, listeners. A quick message. Is anyone else struggling with what to wear these days? I feel like styles have changed so much recently, not to mention that I got a whole new body when I turned 50, and I quite literally have no idea what to wear. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect summer wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. When I signed up, I took a style quiz, and based on my preferences, they offered suggestions that would best match my lifestyle and my taste. I needed outfits for 3 graduation parties, 1 graduation, 1 wedding, a library conference, and a school visit. And I wanted the clothes to fit, be comfortable, and make me look and feel like me. And I scored on all 3 fronts. In fact, at that wedding, I had no less than 5 strangers stop me and tell me how much they loved my look, including Gen Zers, which I took as a huge compliment. I felt fresh, current, and perfectly comfortable in my own skin. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again.
Exactly. I have memories of walking in. Again, I'm centering most of this around my 7th grade Valentine dance. And there were probably more, but this one for some reason stuck with me. Probably because, as you guys know and longtime listeners know, I danced with Rick Brannon for 87 minutes to Hotel California. But walking into the gym that was suddenly dark,
yeah,
yes. It had this air mm-hmm. of mystique. Like yes. You almost didn't notice the air of 7th grade body odor lingering from the game of dodgeball, like from earlier in the day. And at this dance, we had a band. And in my memory,
I know. Several people had bands.
In my memory, it was a band of like 10 people. They were completely spotlit, like a concert. In reality, it was probably three high school kids, the middle school paid in Burgerville certificates, because yeah. it was just like, what? Like, impressive. And I also have a distinct memory of the gym floor. You know, we didn't have like a certain dance floor. It was like, this is the area, mm-hmm. but I can still see like where the band was to my right. And then I can see all the huddles of groups yes. of friends, yes. of kids around. Now, I thankfully was going, I'm sure I went with my friend Kristen and a couple other people, but I can picture it as like groups of people little around swarms. This empty square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I guess sure. that's yeah. where we're supposed to dance.
Well, and that's very, that is one of the things that I think kept me from going to those first dances, because in the one that I went to, I do remember that it's almost like, it sounds weird to say the birth canal, but it you like the hallway yeah, is all true. Lit up and bright, and there's this threshold that you have to cross over where you go into the dark womb of the dance, and it's like instantaneous. And I remember sort of clinging to my people. Like yeah. you have to go in as a group. You can't walk in individually. Gosh, no. You can't do this casually. You can't be like, okay, I'll see you inside. No, no, no. Please hold me up. Everybody come with me as yes. we cross yes. the threshold, right? You needed to have your people.
For sure. And I'm just now getting this memory of, I'm sure because my mom and my friends' moms were all just like, the dance starts at 7, you're getting there at 7. Like, that's when yeah. it starts. And so, you know, you're sometimes some of the earliest people in our case, it was the cafeteria. So we've got like, I was just eating pizza here before, but you've got the folded up tables.
Yeah, yes. right.
You've yeah. got those folded up tables against the wall. But you would stare at that threshold because you'd want to see who was coming in, at least in my case, because I was there yes. so early. And yeah. you know, is he coming? Is he going to yes. be here or whatever? And
yeah, so you wouldn't go wearing. In right away. You're going to hang out in the light, in the bright
well,
hallway
Well, I actually
first.
Would be hanging in probably because my mom probably said, go in. Oh my gosh, I just remember staring at that threshold basically mm-hmm. that people were crossing over, and that feeling that you talked about, Michelle, of – you know, for me, just being in my school after hours, there was just something so like magical and mysterious, like these hallways mm-hmm. that 2 hours ago I was, you know, walking down, opening my locker, but there's like this big metal gate across some of them and they're dark. Right. And you're like, what's back there?
It's like seeing a teacher outside of school. Like yes. when you see mm-hmm. your school outside of school hours, I think in my mind, you always just feel like your school like disappears when
it's
you
like
leave,
a person.
Like ceases
it's
to
like,
exist.
Yes. yes.
And it's only, your school's only there when you're there. Right. And when you go, and especially when the gym is dark.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Especially when you're like, you know, by the time you get to high school dances, you've done it. But these first dances, these first mm-hmm. times.
It oh, felt yeah. so, I mean, it, oh, God, it the seems hormones. Strange to associate that with feeling a kind of maturity, but I did when you see the gate and you see the lockers that are not used it's like, yeah. and you're not allowed back there. It felt like I was transcending my own school.
Yeah, that feeling coupled with, again, then it's dark in this room that or space that for me still has these lingering smells of, you know, in the
pizza.
Case of, yeah, pizza or fish because it's Friday and lots of Catholics and we've got fish sticks from earlier in the day or tuna casserole. Mm-hmm. So that was just amazing. And then all of a sudden we're in this space and that's where some stuff happens.
Well, and I think what's kind of interesting yeah. about a middle school dance as opposed to maybe a high school dance, although certainly high school dances, this can be true as well. But like all of a sudden someone tells you, this is now how you're supposed to act with boys or with girls. God. And so you've got girls and boys who maybe, and I'm raising my hand here, aren't quite ready to be put into that situation.
Yeah.
And you might also have girls who are looking at the girls instead of the boys and feeling mm-hmm. uncomfortable, or the boys looking at the boys and not feeling comfortable. And some boys, like I said earlier, my husband in probably 7th and 8th grade, who was scared to look at the girls. But people are putting you in this situation, be it your
yes,
cafeteria
yes.
or your gym, and they're mm-hmm. telling you, now mm-hmm. is the time. Now is the year.
It's mating season.
Yes, that's exactly mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Last year wasn't.
Right.
When in reality, there was a whole bunch of girls in my 6th grade class who were doing stuff in the woods with boys that were shocking. So they were ready, and that's fine. We all mm-hmm. mature, and our hormones all, you know, fire up at different times. But the dance was this arbitrary, like, this is what's expected of you.
That's totally true. You know. So we've all crossed that threshold and now we're in the room, the space. What's happening to us or what are we listening to?
Okay, so I think once you're in the room, we need to talk about the most important element of the middle school dance besides the wiggling. It's the very foundation of the existence of the middle school dance. It's the thing that cements these memories in our brains forever, and that's the music. We've talked on this show before about the reminiscence bump, and that's a scientifically proven phenomenon in which people remember the songs from their youth in a far more powerful way than they do the songs from adulthood. You can name that tune in one note.
Right.
If it's from the year you turned 14. You know every word. Even if it wasn't a song you loved, it didn't matter. And they, you know, you heard it on the radio all the time, so it didn't really matter whether you liked it or not. And they think the reason you can remember these songs better is because you were hearing them at a time when you were growing up and you were experiencing lots of things for the first time, memorable things like your first dance. And so the music you were hearing attaches to that memory. I don't have any memories to attach to Taylor Swift. So, because I'm not doing any first things anymore. So I have trouble singing along with Taylor Swift the way the kids today do. So we asked our followers to share the songs that they remember from their first dances, and it was so funny. I don't know why it's funny exactly. Maybe because the songs exemplify the melodrama that is associated with being an angsty teen, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
When we talk about school dances, we most often think of the slow dances, which is funny because there probably weren't as many slow dances as there were fast dances. And for some of us, the slow songs were terrifying.
Right.
Like the slow song comes on and you're like, what now?
Where
like,
do you don't put know. Your eyes?
Where, or go to where the bathroom. It's right. time to go to the bathroom, yes. right? Everybody sort just like, exits the gym.
It's like when we talked about couple skate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, I got a knot in my skate.
Yeah. I'm going to get something to drink. I'm right. thirsty.
And you kind of knew when blister. It was coming. It's like, oh my gosh, there have been three fast songs. The next one is going to be the slow one.
Oh, yeah. No, I certainly had lots of blisters.
It's true. That was either when you stood against the wall and you just prayed for somebody to choose you, or you ran away and you hid in the bathroom. But maybe that is the answer. The memory that is cemented is the one that is grounded in either ecstasy or fear, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's why we remember these songs so hard. But people did mention the fast songs that they remembered, maybe because this is where some of your joy was unleashed, maybe for the first time. Maybe you'd never unleashed your body like that before. And I thought it would be fun to just let you listen to some of the songs that were mentioned most often in chronological order, because we weren't all in middle school or junior high at the same time. We were all there in, you know, just a few years difference right. can make a big difference in the music you were listening to. So enjoy this medley of songs you remember from your first school dances.
The sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.
What a good
wife. We're dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm. Though it's cold and lonely in the deep dark night, I can see paradise by the dance floor.
We don't rock on the floor, 'cause we're gonna boogie.
behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
The funniest thing, though, like so many of these songs do bring back memories. And I would like to include the Go-Go's in there because we would have an extra bounce.
Yes.
In our set. You really can find out who has rhythm and who doesn't, right? And so basically, if you can picture step, touch, and maybe you're doing a little clap as you touch. Picture, though, when the clap comes maybe before the touch or the snap comes and not on the beat at all. And that's how about 98% of the boys in my seventh grade class dance. The memories of dancing are pretty funny. Late 70s Kelly remembers dancing to Grease Lightning and doing all the hand motions. Like, you have to. Mm-hmm. How can you not?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Like a
and that's
law.
A, that a law. Is a gift at a school dance to have choreography that people know, because
right.
now you don't have to come up with it on your own.
So
you're like,
great.
I know how to
right.
wiggle. I'm just going to do what John Travolta did.
Right. And even the boys can get into that.
That's right.
In
mm-hmm.
you know, those years of our youth, all the boys saw Grease as well. Julie remembers 1977 in her PE class. They learned the hustle. You guys, I want to be in that PE class. That is a way more valuable skill than learning how to climb
the hustle.
A rope.
100%.
We learned mm-hmm. a square dance.
We did that too. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was part of the dancing
hustle?
Unit.
Yes,
we learned the hustle
unit.
And the bus stop. We learned the bus stop. We learned the hustle. Yeah.
I had to go to Marsha Highland School of Dance for the disco lessons, which were all just for these middle school dances, I've decided. And I went with my friend Debbie. So we did actually probably hold hands and do some of those disco couples dances. But yes, that was where the money came in.
I'm a PE do-over. Yeah. Julie also says that then the eighth grade girls came over to her house to show her dance moves before her first dance. Isn't
oh,
that
nice.
Sweet? I was always jealous of those girls that had like the older girls that like, you know, that kind of took them under their wing.
Show me what to do, please.
Right. I know.
I want choreography. Tell me specifically.
Oh, that was nice.
I know. I think that's how we say this. Alanius remembers in eighth grade voguing and someone rolling their eyes at her, to
ouch.
Which I say, not your people, Alanis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Oh,
get away
hurts.
From those people.
Ow.
I know.
Yeah.
And Josie 0504 nails it with a memory that I think we just have mentioned several times, but you can't not. The slow dance rock, arms stretched just to touch each other's shoulders and just rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
Maybe your feet don't even move. Maybe
mm-hmm.
you stay in one place. We would,
you don't even
we
turn.
Would rotate. And then you start to get dizzy after a while. You're just turning. How many times do we turn? Keep turning in circles, right?
I danced one particular way. It is the way that all of the girls danced. We were exactly the same. And it is the Molly Ringwald dance from Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is the your jump kick, mm-hmm. jump kick, jump kick. And you're swinging mm-hmm. the arms.
That's
it's
my
like, jump kick,
yep.
jump kick. And it's exhausting. And the next day you would have shin splints. I remember that
middle
specifically. Like, why does it hurt on the front of my
that
legs?
Was such, mm-hmm. That was a classic move, a classic
yeah.
dance move. Well, following up on what you had, were talking about, Michelle, about the slow dance and the arms you know, on each other's shoulders, my sister has a memory of kind of the evolution of the slow dance. And you could tell, she said, by the way people were slow dancing, what kind of relationship they had.
Yes.
So she said, yeah,
yes.
you start with that awkward kind of both hands are on the shoulders. Yeah. And you're swaying. And then
and your arms are straight.
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 Yeah, we're not close at all.
Mm-mm.
Then you might move a little bit like, oh, there might be a little something more mm-hmm. here. With and the guy
you
might
bend.
Move his hands down
your
to your waist.
Yeah. Bend. Yeah, the mm-hmm. elbows are bent.
And yeah, and mm-hmm. his hands yep. might be on your waist and your hands are maybe on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister said, and then you're much closer. You're like, his arms are wrapped around your waist. There's always the sway going on, but it's kind
yep.
of where are the hands and arms during the swaying moment? So as we're swaying and all of that, what might
yeah.
we be listening to?
Yes, let's talk about the slow songs. The songs that were tailor-made for that first school dance, where
yes.
kids are scared to be in love, but wanting to be in love, and some are play acting at being in love, making the rest of us feel like we're doing it wrong because we're not in love. And it's all on full display when one of these songs comes on at the school dance. There were some classic universal choices, and then there were some surprises that I'll share later that turned out to be universal. Weird, a surprise that was universal. And I'll share, like I said, I'll share those with you in a minute. But first, please enjoy this medley of songs you may or may not have danced to at your school dance, once again, in chronological order, starting with our boomer-adjacent listeners, ending with our millennial-adjacent listeners. Okay, and this first one cracks me up because I think of Carolyn with her clarinet going, na 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 na. She's gone. I want to learn how to take it. Which I have to tell you that a friend of mine calls that song Oa, because when her child was in the back seat, in the car seat, and he's like, Mama, play Oa. Aww. Mama, play Oa. And she's like, what in the hell are you talking about? Oa, I got to learn how to take it. Baby, come back. Dee, 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 dee. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong. Dance with me. I want to be your partner. Dance with me. Can't you see whatever? Na, 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 na. Don't judge our accuracy by any means. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really need to learn.
Because
we're living in a world of... That's when it gets really high.
Yeah.
Once... Twice.
Oh, always yeah. played.
Three times 100% a lady.
Yeah.
And okay, that's a good one. Oh, and I think this is the best choice, and I can't even really sing it because all I can do is Beth. Okay. That's not how it goes. I can't think it.
Beth, I hear you calling, but I can't come home right now. Me and the boys are playing. And we just can't find the sound.
Just so funny that yeah. Kiss would have a slow dance song. She's always a woman to me, reunited, and it feels so good.
I love that song.
Cherish. I can't sing Cherish either. The Cool and the Gang one.
Oh. I was doing the 19.
No, the Cool in the Gang is that there's so many Cherishes. So many Cherishes. Lying beside you, hearing in the dark. I'm going to keep on loving you. Because it's the only thing I want to do. Okay, here, this song was almost the number one mentioned song. But it was not. It's number two. Babe, I'm leaving. I must be on my way.
Oh, yeah.
The
oh.
time is drawing near. And he always says drawing. It's drawing near.
Oh, yeah.
Only You by Yaz, which I can't sing. Only living in my living room. What love is. I hate that song. You're the inspiration. Okay, how do I do this one? It's a hard habit to break. A lot of Chicago. Remember all those Chicago songs?
Well, I have one on my list that I only put two songs on my list, and they have yet to be sung yet.
Oh, well, we're not done yet.
Okay.
Making love out of nothing at all. Making love out of nothing at all. Making love. I know. Mm-hmm. Total eclipse of the heart. Well, how were you singing that one? Okay. Because I'm truly.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even do it. I'm going to cry. Truly in love with you, girl. That is my elusive song. That was the one, that was my pity dance with Neil Miller when he asked me to dance with him. And then the elusivity commenced. Africa. Can you sing Africa for me? Let's see.
God bless the rains down in Africa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I can't remember how Amanda goes by Boston.
I'm gonna take you by surprise and make you realize, Amanda. I'm gonna tell you right away. I can't wait another day, Amanda.
I just remember it was a big deal because Boston had a slow song, and nobody had heard a slow song from Boston before. How can I sing Against All Odds? That one is so good. The Phil Collins song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're the only one who really knew me at all. Take a look at me now. Oh, yeah. Breaks my heart.
Oh, my
God. Never Say Goodbye, which is Bon Jovi. I also can't come up with that one.
Never say goodbye. You would be on my own
So it's not the one, never can say goodbye. No, it's not that.
Carol. No, it's Bon Jovi.
Carol loves that.
Carol goes back in time. And the Eternal Flame, that's the Bangles. Let's see, how does that?
Of course, yes. Da-da-da,
da-da-da. Am I only dreaming, or is this burning an eternal flame?
It must have been love, but it's over now. Ba-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. What were your songs, Michelle?
My two are Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong.
Oh, that's Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah,
Officer and a Gentleman. Officer and a Gentleman, of
that
course.
That was played all the time. And the other one that came to me immediately when I thought, like, what do we play with? It's hard to say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hard to say I'm sorry. But I just want
that's Chicago,
you.
That's Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a third one. So you have Hard Habit to Break, Hard to Say I'm Sorry, You're the Inspiration. But there was one song I didn't put in the medley because it was mentioned so many times. Wow. And it was such a surprise to me that I decided it needed its own spotlight in this segment. Please enjoy the Landslide number one slow song from the comments section of the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven.
There were a couple of songs that never got mentioned, not a single time, that kind of surprised me that I want to just drop in here very quickly. Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong.
I mean, come
belong.
On, Officer and a Gentleman was the hugest
it's
movie.
It's classic.
And
so
that
classic.
Was the first thing that came to my mind when I was thinking of slow dancing was that
How
song.
Did that not appear in the comments? I can't believe it. I think these are school dance classics, and if they're not, they should have been school dance classics. The first one is
how easy it would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do.
That, of course, is More Than Words by the band Extreme, and it was a number one hit in 1991 for our young Gen Xers. I think that was made for swaying back and forth with somebody that you barely knew but you wanted to marry. And the video was all over MTV, and it just got people in the feels so hard. If you remember the video, it was the two guys sort of in shadow with the acoustic guitar, and they had the long, straight hair.
Yeah.
Oh, so sexy. But the other one that no one said is my number one pick for a middle school dance in the Gen X era, and it has an interesting history, meaning some of us will think that this is a middle school dance song, and some of us will think that this is a high school or college dance song, and it is this song.
Babe, lost in love is what I feel. Baby, why didn't you when I'm with you?
But I do have to ask you guys this, because there is an interesting story about this song. Do you remember when that song was popular for you? Do you remember, like, what grade you were in or where you were?
I'm going to say I was in college, I feel like.
Okay.
So I would say it would be 83, after 83.
Okay. And Michelle, you don't remember?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this is an interesting story. It was released in 1983. In my area, it was a huge hit, a giant hit. And this is squarely in the junior high dance era, okay? It was in constant rotation, but it only reached number 63 on the charts. That's not really that big of a hit. So it's possible that a lot of people don't remember it from 1983. But then in 1989, my local radio station, KDWB, started playing it again, just randomly, as if it were a new single. Other radio stations started catching on, and they started playing it too. And it caught on across the nation. And When I'm With You hit number one 5 years after the band had broken up.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really?
It was a hit twice. It was a hit twice. And I remember when
the station catapulted that the second time. Wow.
Which explains a lot about my memory of it.
Not all the action at our middle school dances was taking place on the dance floor. There was lots of drama in the hallways and in the bathrooms. One of our followers, Ellen Kane, her memory is lots of running to the bathroom with a group of girls.
Oh, yes, middle school.
It's
very important
memory. That's right. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, don't both of you have some pretty distinct middle school dance memories where you ran to the bathroom? Or am I making that?
Oh, yes, because of Truly.
Okay.
Because I got my pity dance with Neil Miller, but I knew it was over. There was nothing to be done. I knew it was a pity dance. And when Truly was over, I melodramatically ran from the dance to the bathroom. And I possibly even put my, hand to my forehead as I ran, like, oh. And people were like chasing me, like, Kristen, are you okay? I'm like, leave me alone.
Well, that's the image I have of running to the bathroom after somebody, like, oh my God, is Paula okay? Did you just see me? And everybody has to go.
Everybody has to go.
The whole friend group has to go.
Yep.
Or, grab someone's hand because, like, I have to tell someone that, oh my God, guess who just, I think, is going to ask me to dance. And boom, you have to pull into the bathroom. Yeah.
And this is so funny. This comes from Jen. She says, a million people conspiring to get me and David Kaplan to slow dance for the last 15 seconds of the song that were left by prying us from separate bathrooms. And that's where she says, I'm pretty sure I was wearing black and white polka dot shortalls.
Yeah.
And I like that where she said every dance that she went to ended with Hall & Oates, she's gone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I gotta learn how to take it.
The last final song. I thought that was so funny. Well, again, my sister totally hooskerdooed me with a memory from middle school dances. And it has to do with walking to the bathroom and maybe just because you had to go, because sometimes that's actually why you went to the bathroom. And at our, on the way to go to the bathroom from our cafeteria, you walked by this one hallway. It wasn't cut off by like a metal gate and the lights were kind of on. It was a short hallway, and that would be where people would go to kind of make out.
Oh, sure.
And that's where you would see that hallway on the way to go to the bathroom. And so sometimes your friends would say, don't look, as you would go by. And you kind of knew, which automatically meant you better look.
Sure.
And then when she was telling me that, it was like I got sucked back in a time machine. And I felt that feeling of looking down that hallway. I can even remember the people now. I mean, it was my Ed. I don't think it wasn't the same night as the mistletoe. And him with, another girl just making out. And
when you say my Ed, you mean the guy that you danced with your crush with the mistletoe?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
but he wasn't
no.
at that point. It was just my crush at that point. Like, he wasn't anything. But that feeling, again, that roller coaster of emotions, and there is a distinct visceral response I have when that person you're longing for, whether it's this middle school crush or a college crush or whatever, and you see them with someone else.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's just, yes. And when she said that, I was transported.
Yeah.
And that feeling came flooding back. Mm. And it's just such that, like, oh, there's no hope. I don't know. It was just so.
Okay. Do you know what it is for me? I'm really identifying the feelings now. For me, when I see my Ed making out with somebody after he kissed me under the mistletoe, it's humiliation.
I've been had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was foolish enough to, for a moment, believe in my own fantasy. I am a fool. Mm-hmm. And you've made a fool of me.
Yes.
And you just want to like curl into a little ball and disappear.
Right. You're like embarrassed for yourself. It's like, no one else probably is embarrassed for you, but you're just like, oh, what a waste of a dream and all those things.
Aww.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, so hard. We kind of knew the dance was kind of over. The lights would go up in that gym or in that cafeteria, and the last notes of Last Dance or She's Gone were playing, and we're all kind of shuffling out with our group of friends. Although I do remember my friend Debbie kind of got a boyfriend during one middle school dance, and so I think he asked if she would go with him, and she said yes, and so they are walking out hand in hand, and we are like, oh my gosh, because of course we're gonna we're gonna have a sleepover that night. We're gonna get to dissect all of this. So for a lot of us, that's kind of how the evening ultimately ended, was that we went home and our parents were all lined up outside in a carpool line. got in the car of the friend's parents who we were going to go sleep over at their house. And we'd go there to just debrief who was with who. Mm-hmm. And as we have talked about other times, and we promise you listeners, the sleepover is an episode in and of itself.
The slumber party is coming. Yes, the slumber party that we promise is coming in an upcoming episode.
Get your Ouija boards ready.
So let's dance.
So whether you have fond memories of your first dance or you're permanently scarred by it, or even if you were too scared and stayed home on the couch, on this day, we can all say we survived. We did not die, just like our moms told us, even though we were sure that we would. No matter how it went down for you, you made it to adulthood. Congratulations. And if your memories aren't happy ones, it's not too late. For your next birthday, rent out a church basement, make a middle school dance playlist, and invite your friends. I promise you, it'll be so much easier than the first time around, and you can raise a glass to the fact that you all survived puberty. Thanks so much for listening today, and we will see you next time.
That'd be a blast. I want to do that. Mm-hmm.
I could be there.
Wouldn't that be fun? Get a Mellow Mix.
Yeah.
Just make a Mellow Mix.
Everybody put, like, pretend braces on.
Yeah.
I'll wear a headgear.
A pretend braces. And a side pony. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, today's episode was brought to you by Sweet Honesty, Tickle Deodorant, Bonnie Bell, and these fine patrons and one-time donors. Terry, Colleen, Gail, Valerie, Mike, Liz, Debbie, Kim, Joan, Erica, and Mary.
And you guys, we have lots of fun links to fun things in our email newsletter, The Weekly Reader. So if you are not already subscribed, I promise you want to be. That you can do by going to our website at poppreservationist.com or at our link in bio on Instagram, because this week's issue is going to have a link to our Ultimate Middle School Dance Spotify list. There are going to be video clips to that Freaks and Geeks scene and maybe some photos of Michelle in that lovely drop waist tiered dress with a straw hat.
With a white straw hat and gloves.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers. Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu, nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.